As we continue our study in the book of Proverbs, we're still in the 14th chapter and beginning now at the 11th verse. So let's read the proverb found in that verse. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. NIV words it this way, the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. No matter how great a family is, it can be ruined by sin. The word for house can refer to any structure used for a house, whether expensive or cheap. The house of the wicked, though built ever so strong and high, shall be overthrown, he says. It should be brought to poverty and disgrace and eventually become extinct. The word overthrown means to be made desolate or to be made laid waste. Even though this family has a hope of heaven, if they're wicked, the house in which they lean shall not stand, but shall fail in the storm. The flood shall sweep it away. Now, of course, we know this as figurative language. The house of the wicked is really talking about the wicked themselves. The people. The people will be overthrown. They're not going to be allowed to last. They're going to be made desolate or to be laid waste. They are going to become extinct eventually. Wickedness is something that God is opposed to, and you're eventually going to lose if you are among the wicked. But it is a much different story for those who are righteous. Righteousness will protect the house of the most humble family. The word for tabernacle usually means a tent dwelling. The tabernacle of the upright, though movable and flexible as a tent, shall flourish. The word for flourish means to blossom, grow, spread, or fly.
Yeah.
The idea is that this upright family shall do as well as the will of God sees fit. They will have the grace and comforts given by God, which are the true honors and riches. Which would you prefer? A house of the wicked, which shall eventually be overthrown, or a tabernacle of the upright, which shall flourish? Again, we stress this is figurative language, and when he speaks about the house of the wicked or the tabernacle of the upright, he's talking about the people themselves. Those that are upright are going to flourish. They're going to blossom. They're going to grow. They're going to be made to improve. So let's read verse 11 again. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Next proverb, verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. NIV, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. This verse is showing how deceptive sin can be. The way seems right to a man. There's no sin that cannot be made to seem to be right. Humans can rationalize about any act and make it seem to be right to them. It is not difficult for some humans to make any crime seem to be right. From Adam and Eve eating the forbidden fruit to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, all of this seemed to be right to somebody. This is the nature of the human mind. This can include all sin, murder, theft, violence, war, and lying, all sexual sins such as adultery, fornication, prostitution, homosexuality, and child pornography. Some will justify all forms of rebellion against parents, governments, and God. How do we prevent this from happening to us? How do we prevent ourselves from using our reasoning power to make something which is wrong appear to be right? We must apply the wisdom of God to all of our thoughts and actions. We must know what the will of God is and let it reign in our lives. We must believe that our ways and our thoughts are not the same as God's ways and God's thoughts. Isaiah 55, 7-9, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We must have the Word of God guide us in all of our thoughts and beliefs. Otherwise, we can be easily deceived into believing that something is right when it is actually wrong. The Bible should be our guide. When it comes to obeying God, let us speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. if we allow ourselves to be deceived either by ourselves or by someone else, the way will lead to death. We can think that everything is okay and still be on the road to hell. So the bottom line must be, is this belief or practice according to God's word? What does the Bible teach about this? Then and only then can we put any confidence in what we believe or practice. The vast majority of people will make the tragic mistake of following a way that seems to be right, but it leads to death. In Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Do not be misled by the many. Do not allow your human reasoning to deceive you into something that will lead you to hell. We must develop a love for the truth. We must have no belief or action which is contrary to the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:11-12, and for this cause God shall send him strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. When we demonstrate that we do not have a love for the truth, we're simply not wanting the truth. Then God has promised to send a strong delusion, a strong false belief that those who do not love the truth might be damned. These people with a strong delusion sent by God will have a way that seems to be right to them, but it leads to death. Just because you have a strong belief does not make it right. It can simply be a strong delusion that will take you to hell. So let's read verse 12 again. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Next proverb is verse 13 of chapter 14. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. NIV words it this way, even in laughter the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief. This proverb seems to be saying that laughter does not prove that a person is free from mental distress. NIV says, even in laughter the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief. There are times when laughter may simply hide or cover up the grief of the mind. The laughter, though pleasant and helpful, will soon disappear. The grief of the mind, the worries that really bother us, will return if laughter is all we have for our problems. So laughter is not always a sign that one is free from worry or care. The laughter may be only temporary relief from the care that bears so much heavily on the mind. So laughter alone, which may be desirable and helpful, is not enough to handle grief of mind. There must be something more to rid one of mental worry and distress. The answer to this condition is that we must clear our conscience of sin and turn to God. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5:6-7, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Again in Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Christian can have true joy, which is not just a mask to cover the torments of the mind. The true joy of following the will of God lasts forever. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So let us remember that although laughter may be a good treatment for the problems that we have, for the grief of heart that we may have, it is not the cure. Laughter is temporary, and the grief is going to come back. The true cure is to obey the commands of God, be pleasing to God, and then turn to God for help, depend upon God, and that's going to be the true relief of our problems. So let's read again, verse 13, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. NIV, even in laughter, the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief. The next proverb is verse 14, and this is still in chapter 14 of Proverbs. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good man rewarded for his. That's the NIV version. The word backslider means to go back or to become an apostate. The backslider is one who turns from his faith. This is one who leaves the service of God. There are many reasons why a person may turn and give up the faith. It may be in fear of suffering, or in hope of profit or pleasure by doing something displeasing to God, or maybe he has allowed the things of the world to choke out the things of God, or he could have accepted a false doctrine. This backslider has made a turn in his heart. That is, the mind has been changed to believe and practice things contrary to God. This is not an act of ignorance or momentary weakness that is repented of. This is a backslider in heart or mind. The change to sin has been calculated and purposeful. This backslider shall be filled with his own ways. Whatever ways this person chose to follow instead of the true God, these are the things he will be filled with. God will let him walk in the ways he has chosen. He will be filled with his own ways instead of the ways of God. But a good man shall be satisfied with the things he has received from God. This is eternal satisfaction with the grace of God. He desires no other way. He does not seek another way besides God's way. He has learned to be content. Romans 5, 1 and 2, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So the good man does not turn to the world nor follow his ways. Galatians 6, 3 and 5, through 5, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. So turning from the faith to the world for relief, for sustenance, is a mistake. We must turn to God, and we do this by having the faith that we need to have, which includes our works. Let every man prove his own work, he says. And then he'll have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. We don't rejoice in what the world does. We don't rejoice in comfort from the world. We rejoice from our satisfaction in the pleasing of God, the fact that we are God's servant. So again, let's read verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. NIV, the faithless will be fully rewarded for their ways, and the good man rewarded for his. Next proverb is verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. NIV words it this way, a simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. The word simple here means foolish. This verse tells us that it is foolish to believe every word, to believe every story, to depend upon every promise, to give credit to all that ask, is true folly. This is certainly true when it comes to believing what men teach about the will of God. To simply accept every word of man as fact is to become blind to the truth. This is not acting wisely or even reasonably, and it can have grave consequences in our lives. But not so with the prudent. The word prudent means to be sensible or careful. Just as it is foolish to believe every word, it is sensible to be careful. He says the prudent gives thought to his steps. Learn the facts. Investigate. Be aware of reality. Especially in any matter pertaining to God, know what God's word says and never take man's word in the place of God's word. So our proverb again says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Next proverb, verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. NIV, a wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. The word for fear actually means a God-fearer. That is one who has a great respect for God and fears the wrath of God more than the wrath of any other thing. It is wisdom to depart from evil, all evil. It is wisdom to have a dread of God's wrath. It is wisdom to be afraid of committing sin and cause God's displeasure with us. A wise person stays away from the things which may harm him. He will recoil in fright if he sees himself entering into temptation. But it is the fool who will enter into a sinful situation. To presume that sin will have no effect on you is a mistake. It is truly unwise, when warned of danger, to rage and be confident and push on to the danger of sin. Our proverb says, "But the fool rages and is confident." Rage means to push over or to go beyond. Confident means to feel safe and secure. So the fool moves in to sin and feels safe and secure when he does this. He refuses to alter his behavior in spite of the warnings from God. He enters into sin anyway. He does not heed the Bible warnings of the wrath and curse of God. He is defiant and insists upon having his own way. He rebels against God and plays with what is forbidden. This is spiritual suicide. This goes against all reason and the best interest of this person. This is truly the way to ruin. So our verse says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." NIV, "A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless." Our next proverb is verse 17, which reads like this: "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and the man of wicked devices is hated." The state of anger is not good, because the emotional state of anger makes one more apt to sin. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." We're much more tempted to sin when we're in a state of anger. James 1 and 20 says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." One of the qualities of a bishop was to not be soon angry, Titus 1, 17. So our proverb here speaks of one who is soon angry. He has a double problem. Not only is he angry, but he's soon angry. That is, he easily becomes angry. He is easily and frequently put into this state where he is more apt to sin and not work the righteousness of God. No wonder this proverb says that this person dealeth foolishly. In order to please God, we must abide by the New Testament instruction, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath." In other words, get rid of the anger soon. Do not harbor it or bear a grudge. We should not allow our anger to motivate us to action, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So when anger is our motivation, we're much more apt to sin in our actions. Being too soon angry means you're frequently angry, and you will deal foolishly. You will do things you wish you had not done. You will say things you will regret you have said. But after the deed is done, after you have dealt foolishly, it cannot be undone. So the warning here is to control yourself so that you're not soon angry. This means that the anger you do have will be less frequent and of a shorter duration. You must learn to have self-control. You must learn to rid yourself of anger when it does occur. The other character of this proverb is the man of wicked devices. This is the person who deliberately plans ways to do harm to others. This person cannot relate to others with love or understanding. He must be watched continually to prevent him from harming you in some way. His actions could have many causes, such as alcohol or other drugs, or it could be just his nature, but the results are the same. If you turn your back on him, he will take advantage of your vulnerability and do you harm. This type of person is hated, our proverb says. He is undesirable to be around. Let us be sure that we do not plot to take advantage of another person at any time and become one of these that are wicked devices. God never expects us to harm another person. The Christian way is to love and be loved. Colossians 3:14, "And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." So verse 17 says, again, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." Verse 18, our next proverb: "The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge." The simple here are those who are lacking in judgment and understanding. They act in a foolish way. Their priorities are wrong. Things which should be of great value, they have no interest in. This would be knowing and doing God's will. They're willingly ignorant of God's will. They lack knowledge, which is the state of knowing. They treat this vital and needed possession as though it had no value. Even if they're exposed to this information about God and how it applies to them, they regard it as something which has no meaning. As a result, they inherit folly. The word folly means destruction or trouble. These are not the usual trials of life to test us, which we all have, but these are trials which are brought as a result of sin. God promises no help for these trials as long as sins are unforgiven. We all have trials, but God promises to give relief to the faithful, those who do not treat His knowledge lightly, but who obey His commands. Hebrews 13:5-6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. But here we're told that those who disregard His words shall inherit trouble or destruction. The word inherit means they will be made to possess this trouble. No promise to help them to bear it or to remove it from them, just a promise to make them possess it. But the prudent, and the word means to be sensible or careful, the prudent shall be crowned with knowledge. This means they will be in a state of knowing. They will be aware of God's will. This will enable them to change their life, be pleasing to God, get forgiveness of sins, and have God to give relief in time of trouble instead of being made to possess trouble. Well, our time has expired for this lesson. We will continue this proverb in our next lesson. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.